Can you hear?
We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo, and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's always good to be back in Chicago and to sit in on this show, and I'm very honored to be part of this great endeavor. A little warmer today. The groundhog told us we're going to have an early spring, so we're going to hold him to his prediction on February 2nd. So anyway, well, let's hope for the best. But winter is winter. We who live in the Midwest know that. As it is noon, let's start with the Angelus, if we could. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, of course, is the feast of St. Valentine. It's not just the greeting card companies have taken away the reality of who St. Valentine is. He was but he's a martyr in the church, and I think it's so beautiful. And it's interesting that we talk about St. Valentine being the patron of love, because he is the patron of true love, not romantic love necessarily, but true love, the love as a martyr, what he gave up. And it is also today in the church we celebrate the feast of St. Cyril and Methodius, who brought the faith to the East very much. And, of course, the beautiful Cyrillic alphabet was put together and be able to communicate out. It's interesting how the tongues, the Slavic tongues, even if they're in our alphabet or with the Cyrillic alphabet, phonetically it's the same. My wife is from Poland, and she said, she can hear sometimes, she can listen to Russian and those languages and understand them. Not look at them, read them necessarily, but she could understand them because phonetically they are very much the same. So it's, but the beautiful work that those two brothers did, bishops, and the history of our faith is so strong. It's amazing. So anyway, today I want to welcome, again, good to be back. And I have here in the studio with me, of course, a very special guest, someone who has been here with me a number of times, and someone who's very well known throughout the Catholic world. She's known as the Purgatory Lady. I have Susan Tassone is here with me today. And Susan, as I said, is known as the Purgatory Lady. But she may well become known as St. Faustina's secretary after now completing four books based on her diary. Susan helps breaks down the Divine Mercy message into bite-sized pieces, praying for the dead, praying for conversion, growing closer to Jesus in adoration, showing how St. Faustina applied these in her spiritual life. Her latest book, Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections, is a prayer companion, providing daily passages from the Divine Mercy message with reflections and meditations for daily life. Tassoni tells us that what we all learn, all we can learn from St. Faustina. And it's beautiful that here we are here at the Divine Mercy Shrine here in Chicago. So it's there is really no coincidences in this world, you know. So Susan, welcome.
Oh, David, it's an honor to be back.
Always
here.
To be back. Always good to be with you.
It's always providential too, because it is the Divine Mercy Shrine, and this is the first time we're actually talking about the new book that will be coming out on March 6th, which is Ash Wednesday. And we've got Faustina's first class relic here. We've got the Adoration Chapel. I couldn't ask for anything more, and we've got famous
De Carillo. Oh, my goodness. but it is very true. It is very private. This place, this is a very beautiful church.
Special.
Those of you who have never visited here, this is one of the most historic churches in the city of Chicago, really. This is the church that moved an expressway. You know that story, of course.
I was actually standing by as we got out of the car. We're so close to the expressway. I in my thoughts, I was thinking, David, how come we're so, like, you could reach out to the expressway, and here the expressway was moved. You can tell them about that.
That's a story, I think, of Dan Rostenkowski, who was a parishioner here, congressman, and prior to that, politician here in the city of Chicago. But it was his parish, and he wanted to make sure when the expressway came in, they may have torn a lot of buildings down, but this wasn't going to be one of them.
The expressway is literally could brush right against you.
That's right. They had a beautiful sign up here: if this church can move an expressway, it can move you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But it is beautiful. They have perpetual adoration here, and it is something very, very special.
It's a jewel. The history, the beauty of the church, the woodworking. Mm-hmm. There's just so much about this special place. I just am thrilled to be here.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we worship. We walk into a place like this, and it brings you to worship. I think that's some of the beautiful architecture in the city. I mean, we have some of the churches in the city are just
breathtaking.
Absolutely magnificent. I mean, there's a list is endless.
The church tours I've done a couple times, David, and I was speechless at what surrounds us.
Right, right. I know growing up here, I mean, there were 500 Catholic parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago when I was young.
My goodness.
500. And then during the early 80s, that began, they had to cut down for a number of good reasons, certainly. But we still 350 or so active parishes in the Archdiocese. And they reflect to a great degree the ethnicity, of the people who founded them. But all based on just great devotion. And so, we're very fortunate to be here and to be around. So Susan, it's really great to have you here and talk again about purgatory. This is your number 12, right?
Number 12. You're going to be an uncle again, David.
12 books. Oh, my goodness. This keeps
going. I'm a good Catholic author.
You
I
sure
produce
are.
A lot of books.
You do. You know, and what's interesting, Susan, is that your subject never gets old.
No, it's in fact, always our Sunday visitor did a Pew study and said that the one question that the Catholics wanted to know more about than any other topic was purgatory.
Really, really. Mm-hmm. I understand that you're one of the, if not the most widely sold author appearing on EWTN.
Yeah, that was a surprise. They shared with me on the most sold authors' books in the history of the network.
That's wonderful.
And I said,
wonderful.
Well, what happened to Mother Angelica? Yeah. And what happened to Father Mitch? And they said, nope, purgatory is where people don't want to go.
Well, it all comes down to content.
Yeah. Okay?
And there's a reason why purgatory is a subject that we need to address. I mean, and we're going to address certain things about this. And, of course, I'm the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army, and we promote the message of Fatima. What is the essence of the message of Fatima? It's reparation for sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eucharistic reparation, particularly, and we make reparation and we prepare ourselves for the next life. And if we're not quite there, what do we do? That's what purgatory is all about.
Right, reparation, conversion, and it's what does conversion and reparation have to do with purgatory? Well, you have to convert and make reparation in order to avoid purgatory.
Well, that's right. That's right. And when you talk about, like the martyrs today, we're talking about St. Valentine being a martyr. And, of course, The church teaches that a martyr goes straight to heaven. They bypass purgatory, okay? And that's beautiful. But why do they, you know, and you have to think, why do they go to heaven? And we talked about this on the show the other day. I had Bishop Perry on here and Father Joshua Caswell. And because when a person is martyred, okay, when you go to purgatory, when do you enter heaven most likely is when you have really given your total will to God. Okay?
Excellent.
You know,
yes.
Really, you have divine, where you've given yourself totally over to God at that point. And those who give their lives as martyrs have done the same thing. So it would be sense, it would make sense that they would bypass purgatory. Possibly.
In fact, yeah. David, how do you avoid purgatory? The number one way is to do the will of God.
Of course.
And in the late, one of my last books, The Conversion, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Conversion of Sinners, she said that was the secret to sanctity for all the saints, she said, including herself, was to do the will of God. Mother Angelica talked about that constantly. Do the will of God in the present moment. Yeah. And you will have peace when you're in God's will. You know, when you're out of the will, there's a difference. You can feel the difference.
You can. And what's very interesting, you know, in this, your 12th book, you know, what has a journey been for, you know, for you? You've been, you know, you're writing these books, and I've known you for a long time, and I've seen a change in your perspective on the faith and the devotional life, you know. And in 2014, you published the Day by Day for the Holy Souls, okay? And, of course, there's somebody say, oh, gee, another Day by Day, but there's a big difference in this one. And you, because you brought it now into the life of St. Faustina. Maybe you can speak about that a little bit.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned Day by Day for the Holy Souls. That book came out, I think, in 2015, and it's still, it was number three on OSV's bestseller list. Now, I'm competing with past authors, current topics, and that's still number one. And it's back on again for the month of February, and it just tells you people's desire to learn more about purgatory and people's desire, they don't lose that connection with their loved ones. That bond is never broken, and this keeps the bond, and it helps them heal, and it helps helps the souls in purgatory, obviously. But that book is one of my favorites, actually. I never think I could do another Day by Day. Yeah. That would overshadow that. But it really took all the 20 years of my experience of writing and was able to put that in a Day by Day to share with everyone. You know, people learn in different ways, David. People like to hear stories. So that book has stories of purgatorial souls. People like to hear about, some people learn better by reading or understanding encyclicals. So encyclicals are in the book. People like to hear, might learn better from apologetics. So apologetics are in that Day by Day. So there's a way to help anybody to learn more about purgatory that's most comfortable for them. And so it's just a great resource, a great book. And then, so it capitalized everything about purgatory you wanted to know. And so what happened? How did I manage to? You know, I always said to myself, I would never, you know, depart from purgatory. Actually, I haven't, because I learned that Faustina had a great love, a tender devotion, as all great saints do, about the souls in purgatory. And that's where I veered off and wrote St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls and her relationship with them, her devotion to them, and how she prayed for them. And basically, it was all the writings that I had done on purgatory. She was reconfirming that all. So that came out. In fact, David, we kicked that book off here, and
right.
That book won an award from the Catholic Press Association.
So it must be me that's getting you these
it's
awards.
It's you,
okay,
David. Absolutely. In fact, you're in the books, David.
That's great.
Fatima is in all yes. My Faustina trilogy books. Fatima,
absolutely.
There's a connection between Faustina and Fatima.
Yeah.
So I veered off, but there was still the common thread of purgatory. And then conversion came up with Faustina. Number one most often requested prayer was conversion, praying for the conversion of sinners. That I was
the Fatima
here,
message. There
yes.
It is. Conversion
David, I was sinners, here again, yeah. Kicking that book off. That won an award from the Catholic Press Association. Then there was one other, adoration. Well, adoration is a great way to release souls from purgatory. Adoration was one of my most exquisite. And again, all these things had a connection with souls in purgatory.
Sure.
Now I didn't expect this surprise, but Day by Day came up, and they said, you know, we need to capture all the key themes in the diary. Some people don't understand. This is the truth. One of the sisters, daughters of St. Paul, said to me, Susan, people come in the store and they have the diary and they say, I've read the diary. Now what do I do?
There you go. That's great. We have to take a little break here, but when we come back, I want to read a couple of excerpts because they just tie into exactly what you're saying here. My name is David Carollo. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Father Loya invites you to see the new Tabor Life website. That's taborlife.org. When you land on the homepage, you can see how Tabor Life can help improve your marriage, your life, and how to see the beauty of God's created order in your personal life. On taborlife.org, you can book Father Loya to speak to your organization about the key elements of leadership, relationships, and sexuality, as well as speak on cultural, social, and political issues. As a renowned artist, Father Loya can speak about how art, liturgy, and prayer fit together. On taborlife.org, you can see the many ways of how you can communicate with us. And as you look to the lower right-hand corner of the page, click on the messenger icon for live chat. And finally, Tabor Life Institute is a 501(c) charitable organization that earnestly needs your support. Click on the support link at the top of the page and donate. After all, Tabor Life is powered by you.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And I'm here with Susan Tassone. And Susan, when we left off, we were talking about this transition into the life of St. Faustina and how her life puts together the whole concept. And we're talking about suffering, okay? Mm. And we've discussed this, that what are the two things that the angels envy if they're capable of actually envy, but for lack of a better term, is that that we can receive Holy Communion. That's one thing that mm-hmm. they can never do. And of course, that they can't suffer. Mm-hmm. They can't join in the sufferings of Christ because they're not corporal. They're not, and it's very interesting. But there's a quote here I think is very beautiful. You know, the Lord would frequently remind her of the need to be united with Him in His suffering. Through prayer, she came to realize that suffering is a great grace. Through suffering, and the soul becomes like the Savior. In suffering, love becomes crystallized. The greater the suffering, the purer the love. It wasn't just suffering for suffering's sake, but rather suffering in union with Jesus that brought St. Faustina, I should say, to true joy. Okay, very beautiful. And it goes back to what we were talking about here, you know, union with Christ, you know, and mm-hmm. and with the angels. I mean, the angels are certainly not envious in a true way. We understand that. But it's something that we, you know, we as human beings are very privileged in many things that we have, you know, in our relationship with God. And I think that's, and St. Faustina brings that home, I think.
But she also said that if we really have to try to understand the value of suffering and how powerful it is. She said, because it'll be too late, she said, that we won't be able to offer our sufferings because it's so powerful that we have to understand the value of it. And to take advantage of it and to use it to save souls, because that's what he talks about through her whole diary, is, you know, how did she handle suffering? What did she do? And he said, I need, you know, I need lovingly sacrifices. Lovingly, he said.
Lovingly.
He just said, I don't need sacrifices, but I need loving sacrifices to help him rescue and save souls. And she said, if we don't know the value of it, it's going to be too late.
Very true. See? Very interesting. You know, the life of St. Faustina is a statement of conformity to the will of God, quite frankly. And this is true of all seers. I mean, those who are legitimate, let's be honest, you know. And they are messengers and understand that they carry the will of God in their words. As those devoted to this saint, you know, how can we best fulfill the requests of heaven in our lives? You bring that out greatly in your books here.
Faustina does.
Faustina,
yeah.
Well, she does, and, yeah. And you're bringing her to us.
Yeah.
You know.
It was one of the key themes, David. This is what was really interesting. What makes this book? And I can't tell you, David. I've been bursting for months. So excited about this book, this day by day, because there is no book like it. Because as I was saying earlier, nuns shared with me that people didn't know what to do with the diary after they read it. A priest friend said that he was intimidated by the diary. Another friend of mine just the other day said, I'm in the car and I'm hearing the diary on CD. And I go, oh, okay, fine, that's nice, but what do I do? And so this book, literally, what I discovered, there were key themes, and one of them was the will of God. So I literally took you through the diary and walked you through it. So if you have never read the diary, this will take you through the diary and show you how to apply it. If you've read the diary, it will take you again through it and show you how to apply it again. And what I found, David, as I've been saying this again, there were about six key themes that walked you through. One of them was the will of God. It's a thread throughout the whole diary. That's what makes you holy. That's the key to sanctity. That's what gets you out of purgatory. And that's what gives you peace. And there was something in there in the diary that's in the book where she said, you will not be guilty on the day of judgment because you were in the will of God. Also, Our Lady said it's the one virtue that pleases her the most and pleases God is to do the will of God in all things. How do you do that? I think that was your question. How do we know?
Yeah.
David, you think it's some rocket science or some, you're an engineer and you've got a deep mind. And David, it was easy. Keep the commandments.
It is so
there
simple.
You go.
Keep
obey
the commandments.
That's
yeah.
How you do the will of God. And then this is in my conversion book, a good way to look at, you know, developing a way of kind of questioning yourself. If I'm keeping the commandments, the Beatitudes, and the corporal and spiritual works of mercy.
That's right.
We got that. You're on a roll.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is really what it is. I mean, that's the message of any legitimate interaction by God, Fatima, all of these. I mean, what is Our Lady in those cases saying? What's Our Lord say here is do the will of God. Follow the Ten Commandments. They're really not that. They're really not open to a whole lot of interpretation. They're pretty simple. I mean, really, they always joked when I was young, the thou shalt nots is how it was always referred to. Well, yes, but they're guides for life. You know, don't do certain things and do certain things. Okay, and that's where the Beatitudes come in.
Blessed
are you who does this and does this, you know.
Yours is the kingdom.
The kingdom
Mercy
of God.
Mercy shall be yours.
Right, right, yeah, and I think that's it. St. Faustina, okay, and I know what drew you, to St. Faustina, particularly when it came to purgatory, because so many saints obviously over the years have written, you know, who have written tons of things on purgatory and preached on it. But did you find that the divine mercy message, because it's so timely to our time, is that something that you attracted you?
To purgatory?
Well, to St. Faustina's devotions
it was really simple. I got a call from Father Dan Canberra from the Marians. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, no one's ever been able to extract out her writings and her meditations and her, her practices on purgatory. And he said, could you do that? And of course, this purgatory, being the purgatory lady, I said, oh, sure, I guess I can do that.
Right.
You know.
Right. And what a wealth was in there. I mean,
I'm
sure when you started looking in, really looking into
it was content. Absolutely. Yeah. And she had it, you know, and it lined up with all the other saints, David. You know, what do they need the most? The
right.
Mass.
Right.
Either you attend Mass, offer Mass, or have Masses offered. What do they experience the worst? What is their worst pain? the loss of the sight of God.
Yes,
what gives them the greatest joy? What's this? Guess what they said? Doing the will of God.
Will of
and
God.
He says to her, they say to her, because they appeared to her in the cemetery, they said, what gives us great joy? By you doing the will of God.
And doing the will of
and
God.
And that's how you avoid purgatory.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. And I think it is very common. You know, we are so removed from the realities of our relationship with God. I mean, we truly are. We don't understand. And I think we're in such a, you know, our fallen nature is what it is. And we're so many years into that fallen nature. And, I mean, the sin of Adam and Eve was one thing, but the continual and added on sin of, you know, over the generations, we don't have an understanding. I mean, so we don't understand necessarily the pains of hell, but we certainly also don't understand the glory of heaven. And purgatory is there to bring us to that point.
What's the greatest pain of purgatory? Is seeing God and then being unable to be with Him.
You're looking. You know
yes.
what's there, and you know you're going to get there.
Yes.
So the anticipation
and being able to see God and not being able to be with Him.
Yeah.
That's their greatest pain. They burn for love of God. Mm. It's the worst. The saints say it's the worst than any pain or illness on earth because they saw God and they saw the lovableness of God and the goodness of God and the plan that God had for you. And you. It's like a. It's this Valentine's Day, you know. It's
yeah,
like hunk of burn in love, David. You can't be without your love, whether it's the love of a child or the love of your husband or the love of a family member. There's, you know, if something happens to them or there's a loss, there's a hole, and they need to fill the hole, and that's their greatest pain.
And that's how God made us. He made us to be, you know, to be connected, to be connected with others, and of course, ultimately with Him.
Right. That was another thing. Why did He make us? One of my favorite lines after she was receiving, this is all in the book, after she was receiving Holy Communion, she said, I was thinking about you to Jesus. And Jesus said, well, I was thinking about you. And she said, well, what were you thinking about? And He said, I was thinking about how you were going to be with Me for all eternity.
Beautiful.
That you were chosen to be, you were chosen out of, you could have been a million other souls, David, but He chose David. Because He wanted you to be with Him for all eternity. And you're in His mind, and Benedict uses this in a book. I forget the name of the book he wrote. I like the way Benedict said, we were basically in His mind essentially forever.
Right. I conceived you, I knew you.
Forever, yeah. Wrap that around.
Because
He had a special mission for you that would make you happy and fulfill what He wanted.
Exactly.
And we all have a mission too, David, and we're given a mission, and only we can fulfill it. No one else can fulfill your mission, David. It's just you.
Yeah.
And He wants you home with Him. In fact, they said, Faustina, again, this is in the book, Love of God. David, this is what really got me, if I can share this with you. You know, I'm writing this, and I find these seven themes, so I make sure they're weaved throughout the whole book, which the themes were Holy Communion. This all ties in with Fatima, confession, adoration, praying for the dying, doing God's will. And then one that jumped out me over and over again, it was so powerful that I wrote Father Joe Roche, the Vicar General in Rome, who did an endorsement.
Right. See, the endorsement.
Yes, the endorsement. I said, Father Joe, this love of God, she expresses the love that God has for us. She said, you don't need us, and you act as if you can't live without us, and you're crazy about us. There were so many exquisite passages about the love that God has for us that I made sure at the end of every month those passages were in there to show you that no matter what you go through, He loves you and He will not abandon you.
That's right. That's right. In you know, because these things have really jumped out at you in the message.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Anything that really surprises you that when you started getting into really really understanding Saint Faustina and all of her writings and her, you know, and her locutions. I mean, you know, it's like we look at seers and we look at how they, and it's easy to just assume, oh, they were given this special grace and they went along with and all that. But anything like in her personality and her way that gave you a little different feeling, a little surprising maybe, you know?
There was a surprise, and then there was another thing. Actually, because I've been writing using her diary, working with her for 4 years, she became like a girlfriend, and that was so neat. She's so normal. She's so just like you and I. Even though Jesus appeared to her, she had her struggles. She said, "I don't live with angels." You know, the sisters, they're not angels.
No.
And she had to deal with personalities. But how she went to our Lord in adoration and he was real to her. And she talked to him like I'm talking to you, sharing her pains, her sorrows, her joys. And he gave her light, and he taught her basically being in his presence and praying. She was transformed into mercy. And us, by going to adoration and praying and taking advantage of the sacraments and confession, we are transformed into him, because he wants us to be who he made us to be, an image of him, mercy and love and compassion. And right. That's what she came to be, and that's what we're called to be.
And what you said is what she came to be, because, again, it was also a journey for her, as all of us.
Exactly.
And we journey with her in this.
Exactly. Yeah. And she shares with you how she handled, how she handled Wanda.
Right.
Wanda is her sister, her blood sister. Wanda came to visit her, and Wanda was going off the deep end, and she went to Jesus, and she said, she forced God. And how did she force him? She said, she needs help. And so she did adoration, she sacrificed, she fasted, she did rosaries. She said, I forced him to give her the grace to convert. So we can do the same thing.
That's right. That's right.
He wants us to force him.
Absolutely. He does. He does. God does want us to force him. Yeah. We have to take another break here, Susan. And when we come back, I want to continue on this whole thing about Sister Faustina's journey and the journey that she takes us on in these writings. Okay. I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back. David Carollo here, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and my guest is Susan Tassone. And Susan, whenever we get together in here, the time goes kind of fast.
It's like a fire in here, David.
It's like a fire. We just roll through it. But it's because the content is so important and it's so special. And you were talking about the special things and the things you learned about St. Faustina and how she brought you along and how she'll bring us along in this work.
I'm so tickled because, like I said, people don't know. In fact, the Shrine of the Divine Mercy staff told me that people call in and say, do you have a day-by-day on Faustina? And they didn't. And they said to me, are you sure you're doing this book? I said, yeah, I'm doing it right now. So we have a book that's going to take you through the diary. We have a book that's going to help you apply it. We have a book that's going to some very unusual things that are in there that haven't been in any other book that I want to share with you.
Sure, sure. And that's really, and the even like some of the quotes and the things are, you know, the thing she communed directly with God. I mean, it was so, it's
you read it, David, so yeah, share what you like about it.
Yeah. And I do, and it's like, you know, you talk about the chaplet,
mm-hmm.
the chaplet for the dying and the presence of the dying. I mean, and you know, we are in a situation nowadays, many people die without a priest, without the sacraments. But I think to a great degree, God has given us this beautiful devotion. It's not, it's never a supplement for Holy Communion or for Extreme Unction or Blessing of the Sick, whatever it's called today. But the reality is, for people, God is merciful. Okay, God extended mercy to those before his life on earth and crucifixion, when the gates of heaven were still closed, right? Because he is merciful. He wants us to come. And again, it's come to his will. But you talked about the souls who honor and spread worship of divine mercy. I like the way this is put here. It said, I myself will defend as my own glory during their lifetime, and especially at the hour of their death, those souls who will venerate my fathomless mercy. You know, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. Mercy, mercy, mercy. The Fatima message. What is the what were the children told? The Lord has designs of mercy. On you.
Oh gosh, right, David. Yeah.
Fatima, and that's why, you know, as of course the Fatima message is, I'm the director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, and that's a big part of who we are. And we just came off the big centennial and all of these, but it is these devotions of divine mercy are really a continuation. In 1929, Sister Lucia received the final vision of Fatima in Tui, Spain. Okay, remember? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the blood coming from his side into the chalice, Our Lady standing there. And what was coming off his left hand? What were the words? Grace and mercy. Okay.
You know what? You're just making my eyes open. I forgot about that.
Sure.
It's totally tied. You know, everything's tied in. Fatima, yeah. Lourdes, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
They're the same message. It's the same message.
That's
you
right.
You brought up the chaplet, David, and I have to share this with you. Father Dan, again, gave me a call while I was writing the book, and he said, you know, there's something that hasn't been really published and spoke about, and he told me that there are promises attached to anyone that promotes the divine mercy devotion, prays to it, and trusts in divine mercy.
Trust.
So now we have in the book all his promises to those souls who venerate the image and what he said, to those souls who pray the chaplet and what he promised. And there, it just goes on and on. And also he had, again, those that promote the devotion, pray and trust in divine mercy, and pray to divine mercy. I had no idea they were there, David. So they are in the book, and they're just absolutely exquisite. The other thing you said that was really important that jumped out at me, huge, again, there were about six themes that were running, repeated over and over again throughout the diary. One of them, which really surprised me, but it was the dying. David, in the day by day, he tells her a couple things. Jesus says to her, pray as much as you can for the dying to obtain mercy. Then the guardian angel appeared to her. And what did he say to her? Pray for the dying. And then our Lord appeared to her again, and he said, I want you to pray for the dying and say the chaplet. And this is repeated over and over again in the diary. So it's very important that we pray that chaplet for the dying to give them whatever grace that they need. And in fact, David, what is it? How does that connect with Fatima? The five first Saturdays.
Five first Saturdays.
What's the promise? That she'll give you the perseverance of grace for a happy death. And what's the happy death? To die in the state of grace, not in the state of Illinois or the state of Wisconsin, in the state of grace, and do these five first Saturdays. David, I've done those first Saturdays for over 35 years, even when I had to go to surgery. It was on a Friday. No, it was on a Saturday. First Saturday, I made sure I had the Eucharist, because you don't have to attend Mass,
right, no,
but receive the Eucharist. And you know what I do with that? I told Our Lady, I want these graces to be for my family tree, past, present, and future, until the end of time, that when I'm gone, whoever was before me, after me, will get the grace that they need.
That's right. And I think that's the thing. We promote the first Saturday devotion, but we are we don't say the five first Saturdays. Yes, the promises of doing the five first Saturdays because of the five blasphemies against Our Lady, and that's beautiful. We say do the first Saturday devotion. In other words, after you do five, continue on.
Exactly.
Don't stop.
Exactly.
You know, because you can do it for others. You
yes,
can, you
that's
can gain
what
a
I
lot
do it
of
for.
Merit.
Sure, and in fact, exactly. Father Apostoli, God rest his soul, we were here, a year ago, right before, after he died. In his book, he said that our Lord told Lucia to not stop saying them because it will speed up the era of priests. Of peace.
Exactly. And, you know, all of those books on First Saturday, Father Apostles, and all of your books, Susan, are available on our website at our gift shop at bluearmy.com. And anybody's interested, we carried every one of them. And your books are always at the front when you walk in the door because they do.
They're popular.
They are very popular.
Praise God. Yeah, David, I just want to share this. This is the first time I'm talking about Day by Day with St. Faustina, and it's being published by Sophia Press. And anyone that they call in or write or sign up to order a book, there is a 25% discount. Mm-hmm. Just look up Sophia Press Institute, and just the code is Day by Day.
Sure.
And you'll get a 25% discount off the book.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listening.
To get it launched.
Yes.
That's very good. That's good. No, and it's great. And I'm so happy that we're here presenting this book for the first time.
It's an honor because I'm here with Faustina. There's her relic. She's sitting in the room. Her picture. We're surrounded by mercy.
It's a very special place. This
yes.
is a very special church.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
And the tradition here is just beautiful. I'm very honored to be able, when they asked me to fill in, it's very nice to be part of this, even though I'm not in Chicago all the time, but I do look forward to doing this when I am here. Just a couple of things I want to mention, too, that, you know, we are doing some pilgrimages, too, which I think people might be interested in. I'd like to get these out. We're going to be going to the Holy Land on July 22nd with Bishop Joseph Perry. Beautiful pilgrimage, Holy Land, July 22nd.
Bishop.
Oh, yeah. He was here on the show with me on Tuesday. We were here talking about the cause for Father Augustus Tolton. He, of course, is the postulator for it, and that was the it's a beautiful. That's it. We're hoping for the best. We I think his cause is moving forward, and again, the church doesn't go fast, and it's just not the nature of the of how it works.
It's worth the wait, David.
Fatima Children, Jacinta and Francisco waited 100 years.
Oh, jeez. I think Our Lady told Sister Lucia, "You'll be here for a little while."
A little while.
How many
longer
years was that?
That was 88 years. Yeah. And of course, we work with the Sisters of Coimbra in Portugal, where she lived for 57 of those 88 years, and we published two of her books, The Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary, beautiful book.
Good book.
It really is. And then we also have her Rosary Meditation book, which we published with them, the English version. And it flies off the shelves because when you, let's say, for example, when you do the First Saturdays, you're supposed to pray five decades of the Rosary, receiving communion, of course, confessing your sins. And then after you say the five decades, you're supposed to spend 15 minutes, and Our Lady says, keeping her company while meditating on the other mysteries. What's a better way to meditate on those than by the meditations that are in the book from the one who brought the message to us,
wow,
Sister Lucia? And so we really, and that again, that's all available on at our gift shop, of course, in New Jersey, and at BlueArmy.com on the website. But it is really a special book, and it just we sold so many of them.
I encourage you to get that book because a lot of people, you know, Fatima is in all my books, David, as you know.
It is.
But people, I think, tend to forget that they forget to keep her company.
But that's the word. It's not just meditating for it's
keeping her
company.
Isn't that neat?
Okay.
You know, you sit there with a cup of tea with
keeping company
with
for
Our Lady.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, is it that difficult, 15
minutes?
Oh, my minutes?
Goodness. I mean, what a gift that would be. That is. So so remember to do that. That's
right.
Just, that's part of her special request.
And it is extremely important.
It's not part of the, you say the rosary, but you have to meditate separately
and
keep her company, separate from the rosary.
And there's even times where I've said 20 decades of the rosary on a Saturday, and I guess that is meditating also. But it's not.
But there's still that 15 minutes she wants with you and her.
Exactly. Just to meditate and just
think,
try to get into her mind,
mm-hmm,
you know, at the Annunciation, at the Visitation, at the birth, presentation, the fight, all throughout the mysteries of the rosary, what was going on in her mind and her heart at that point? Because we want to be like Mary to become more like Christ. I mean, and of course,
she leads
like
us to her son.
She leads us to, and that's what's so very important about it.
In my new book, Day by Day, we have a prayer in there that says, you know, give me your feelings, give me your thoughts, give me your desires, replace them with mine. You know, we help me think like you think. It's one of my favorite prayers. That's in the new Day by Day book.
And help me think like you think.
And in fact, another major theme that runs throughout the book is her devotion to Our Lady.
Of course.
And of course, Our Lady said, you know, the greatest, she wanted her, that the virtue that's most dear to her humility, humility, humility. The three virtues that are most dear to her and God, humility, purity, and the same thing, love of God.
Love of God.
And she said, we have to radiate these virtues. How do you radiate them? Here's just a quick example. There was I forget which pope it was, but I have it in my notes. But anyway, he was going to offer Mass, and the assistant was there to help him. But they were looking for the altar boy, which he didn't show up. His assistant was offering Mass. The cardinal was offering Mass, and he was looking for the altar boy. And so he thought, okay, I will just offer Mass. He turns around, David, and guess who is in, you know, the altar boy dress? You know, I forget the proper name. It was the Pope.
The Pope.
And he said, you know, he says, I'm here to serve. I will be serving your Mass from this point on.
How beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's an example of humility.
Yeah, yeah.
And how you radiate.
I have a similar story. We have to take another break. When we come back, I want to tell you a similar story about a very holy pope who had done something similar, okay? My name is David Carollo, and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in for Father Anthony today on Winds of Change, and I'm here with Susan Tassoni. And Susan, when we went to the break, I was thinking of a story. I know this priest very well, and it was actually a relative. And when he was ordained many years ago in the mid-70s in Italy, he was ordained in Rome, and he went to, traveled around, and he went to Venice. And he was at the cathedral up there, and he wanted to offer Mass, and if he could. And so he went into the sacristy, explained, I'm a newly ordained priest, and can I offer Mass? And there was a priest there, elderly priest, but very dignified. He said, there's something special about him. Well, make a long story short, the priest said, let me help you out. And acted as a sacristan, and he put everything together. And he said he went out, he started offering the Mass, and this priest was watching him. The priest was the future John Paul I. He was the cardinal archbishop, but he happened to be there. Mm-hmm. Very humble man.
There you go.
They said he used
humility.
To drive. He used to ride around Venice in a bicycle and all that. But it was a very beautiful story. But it's humility.
Perfect example of humility.
It truly is. I mean, and he said then all of a sudden he realized who the man was. But he just wanted to he was there to serve also.
To serve.
And I think that's what we all have to look at.
Terrain is to serve.
Terrain is to serve, absolutely, yes, right. Absolutely. And it's really great. And that's really, I think, the essence of what our Lord says, too, you know, in Divine Mercy. You know, prayer moves mountains, I always say, because prayer moves God. Okay, we move God, all right? You know, he wants us to push him, to ask
him. To nudge him.
To nudge him.
Yeah.
He's waiting.
Yes. Look at yeah. Monica. 16 years she nudged him to give the grace of conversion to Augustine. To Augustine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look what he became.
And be patient and don't give up.
Be patient and don't give up, and never even think, even if a loved one dies or somebody dies and it seems as they're out of, that they didn't make it. We don't know that.
Oh, of course not.
Know that. And you pray constantly because, prayer does not exist in time. Prayer exists in eternity. And a prayer you say today could help someone who died 1,000 years ago, perhaps.
Absolutely, David. She talks about not being present when somebody's dying. And our Lord, she said the chaplet. You don't have to be present if somebody is dying by saying the chaplet. And remember to have masses offered. I'll always say this, have masses offered for your family while they're alive to be able to give them the grace of conversion. That obviously they have the will, they have a free will, but have masses offered. Have masses offered for yourself. And I'll always say this, it's going to be my signature on my tombstone. Have Gregorian masses and put them in your will.
Oh, yeah.
30 masses in a row for one deceased soul. The Pious Union is great for offering Gregorian masses, because masses are the most powerful means to help relieve and release the souls in purgatory.
And a Gregorian masses, it's true. They're saying that people are relieved from purgatory.
Yes.
Of course, the story of that, and many people know the Gregorian
masses. We did those.
Masses.
You and I did those for Father Apostolos.
That's correct.
And let's say he's already in heaven. I get this question.
I know.
Well, do they go to someone else?
Oh yeah.
Accidental glory is what Thomas Aquinas calls it. If a soul's already in heaven and you continue to pray for them, they get two things. They get an increase in their intimacy with God, and they get an increase in their intercessory power. And the lesson is never stop praying for your dead.
Right. And we started those on the day of his death, if you remember, because I called the priest that does a lot of Gregorian masses for us. And I said, I don't know what your schedule is, if you have an opening, because he doesn't have parish duties, and it was good. And I said, when can you start another thing? I just finished him yesterday. I got to start today. So we're in a day of Father Andrew's death.
And it ended, David. Do you remember when it ended? When we came here to do adoration book.
That's correct.
The 30th day was
last
when
January.
We met together.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. There's no accidents with that.
No. And of course, Father Andrew Apostoli was our very dear friend. We both were on his television show a number of times. And just
holy priest.
And he was always with us at the Shrine in New Jersey. Of course, the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, We're 50 miles straight west of New York in the foothills of the Poconos, and every 13th of May, four times a year, Father Andrew was always with us. And,
what a holy priest.
And it's interesting this morning because we were talking about, May 13th of this year, we're very honored to have Archbishop Chaput coming from Philadelphia as our main celebrant, and we were talking about that Father Andrew were on the phone with the priest from the diocese there this morning, Father Andrew was always there as the speaker on May 13th. And now, of course, now the CRs, Father Luke Fletcher of the CFRs is going to be there.
So he's wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. And they carry it. Our love and our fraternal connection with the CFRs is so important to the World Apostolate of Fatima, to the Blue Army. They're always with us. They're always doing their retreats with us and all. And as are the Marians in Massachusetts, they come and do their hermitage at our shrine. And really, for those who would like to join what we're doing, BlueArmy.com gives a lot of information. But we have great events throughout the year, particularly on the events of the 13th of May, June, July, August, September, and October. And we have a great lineup. Archbishop Chaput is coming. And again, Bishop Perry is coming from Chicago here for the weekend of Eucharistic Reparation over July 13th. Cardinal Burke, His Eminence, will be there on the 13th of August. Bishop Caggiano of Bridgeport will be there on September 13th and on October 13th. Bishop DiMarzio of Brooklyn, New York. Every year he caps the season for us. And it's just, it's beautiful. And they bring such beautiful insight, these bishops. They bring to us. And if you can't be there, we watch it on our webcam. Go to BlueArmy.com and click on the webcam. The technology of the day brings everybody together. And we need to, encourage that and make that bigger and bigger. Susan, and getting back to our discussion on St. Faustina, what encouragement would you give to someone who's not been able to make it through the entirety of her diary?
Exactly. That seems to be a common.
Sure.
That's why we did Day by Day with St. Faustina, because it walked you through this treasury of the diary's major teachings, insights, revelations, plus her day-to-day thoughts, David, and her advice. She's got plenty of advice on how to live a Christian life. So through the book, Faustina encourages us to be who were called to be, to do God's will, to fulfill your mission on earth, and trust in him. So you can go to the diary at any point. That's what I like. Look, the diary will be coming out. I mean, Day by Day will be coming out on Ash Wednesday. And so you could go right to March, and it will take you through Lent, because I did the book liturgically. She's wonderful, a wonderful companion to walk with during Lent. So at any point, you could look up passages that pique your interest that you've read in Day by Day. I share the themes, the beauty, and comfort of the diary. So the thing too is that you don't have to read the whole diary. Don't let that intimidate you. You can just go through Day by Day, and then if there's something in the diary, these passages that piqued your interest, you can go back to the diary and look those up.
Yeah, great. Yeah, because when it comes to daily devotionals, a lot of people begin well, but then fall off. You know, same thing, you know, because I didn't finish the book, so I'm not really, you know. What advice do you have to someone who struggles, though, with staying, like, with the devotions on a daily
basis?
Well,
I'll give you a secret. I'm not a day by day. The book is not meant just to be read day by day. You're not obligated to do this. And I don't think you're obligated to do it with any day by day. It's a prayer companion. You could pick it up at any time, and you could read it anywhere where it can fit your needs. So it means you can open the book and read something in a bite-sized piece, David, one nugget of wisdom at a time, as I call it. Some people like a day-by-day dose of wisdom. Others like more than that. Some will just pick up the book and open it up and be inspired, as you did. Something that you open and it just hit you. It keeps you.
You start reading and you keep reading. Yeah. I mean, that's a sign of good content.
Exactly. You can choose a certain part of the book because it's done liturgically. Now, what I've done, because I really love the book, I never thought I could outdo Day by Day with the Souls or Adoration. This overshadowed it. You could just read it. I literally read it as a book, page by page. So that's what's so good about it. Faustina's words and our reflections, David, are not measured by days.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's very good. It's like any devotion. A devotion brings you to the holiness, okay? I know years back when our founder met with Sister Lucia in 1947, and he asked her, what is the most important thing here? The rosary, right? And she looked at him and she goes, no, becoming holy.
There you go.
That's what's most important. And these devotions lead you to holiness, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not holiness in themselves. They lead you to holiness by reading, following something like your books, praying the rosary. These are means to that end, praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, petition and all too. But these are what leads you, makes you holy.
That's helps you to be the person God wants you to be.
That's
these
right.
things help to transform you in your behavior. Confession was a big one too. I forgot to mention David in one of the key themes and the graces of confession that she talks about in the Day by Day. So, and confession was very critical in the Fatima messages as well. So I'm just very excited for people to be able to read Day by Day and walk through the themes of Faustina and the seasons of the church with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to mention a couple of things, too. The devotions, of course, this beautiful shrine of Divine Mercy here. We also have the chapel here, the chapel of Our Lady of Fatima here in Chicago at 3051 North Christiana Avenue. A number of great devotions going on there, including Divine Mercy. And you can, for more information, you can call 773-539-8523. That's 773-539-8523. For more information on our apostolate, and again, I mentioned our pilgrimages. We own the Hotel Retreat Center in Fatima, Domus Pachus. That's our pride and joy. We love it. Of course, our shrine in New Jersey is very special. Our chapel here. The apostolate is all over the United States, and the message of Fatima and the message of Divine Mercy are so much the same thing. I mean, they truly are. One is a completion or a succession
extension.
Of the other.
Yes.
It's an extension. But the reality is, and we try to bring about the bottom line is people love God. So again, join us if you can on a pilgrimage, July 22nd, 31st in the Holy Land with Bishop Perry from Chicago, New Jersey. Susan, thank you so much for being with
David,
us. It's always wonderful.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You've
got the heart of Mary.
You got it. You have it. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
your sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take.